cliffcentral.com.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
All right, activist leadership. I remember having Kgalema Motlanthe, former President Kgalema Motlanthe, in the studio last year somewhere and asked him about his views on South Africa's leadership culture. And what featured very strongly, Joseph, is he said we're a nation of activists. So I want your comments on that. But welcome, yeah. You've been all over the place, and you are always all over the place. I don't know where you get your energy and time to do things you do. But welcome to the Leadership Platform.
Good afternoon, Adrian, and thank you. Lovely being back in the studio again.
Yeah, this is the Leadership Show. You know, it's a leadership masterclass. Your comments on what Kgalema Motlanthe said. To me, I asked him about our leadership culture, and he zoomed in on activists. He said we're a nation of activists, and that can be good and bad. But before we get there, what's your view on what he said?
Well, I think to some extent I would agree with him. I think Kgalema Motlanthe, our former deputy president, former president, is a good example of what I would call moral leadership. Somebody who talks openly and frankly, somebody we can look up to, who models the way, one of the principles of leadership that we often hear about. Whether South Africans are active or not, yes, we're very active on social media. We're very active in pointing fingers. We're very active in criticizing. We're very active in finding fault. And when you ask people to stand up and say, fine, let's do something about it, we're very lazy. Some of us, I would imagine. And I'm going to be very blunt here. Let's take Pravin Gordhan, very topical, our Minister of Finance under the spotlight. The other day I tweeted that I'll be one of thousands of people, hopefully, joining the march to Pretoria on the 2nd of November. And people were asking me, but why are you going to Pretoria supporting this man? And that is where I think when we talk of activism, sometimes we fail. The issue of crime, Ari, and you know I'm very passionate about crime. Even very often when everyone is affected by crime, when we say let's go and have a march, you wouldn't get 50 or 100 people. And yet when you look at models in other countries, the Million Man March, for example, the Arab Spring, you'll find people rallying together. And let me take an issue which is close to my heart. This weekend we had a meeting to protest at the high pilgrimage fees for Muslims to go to Saudi Arabia, reported in most of the media today. And I made the point at the meeting yesterday, somebody was saying, yeah, let's have a march. I said, we can have a march, but you know, if you're going to get 50 people, it's good. But everyone on the WhatsApp group is active, finding fault, finding a problem with whatever we do. And yes, we know the National Development Plan, which is a critical document for the future of South Africa, has active citizenry as one of the cornerstones of that particular document. So I think to answer your question in summary, to some extent we're active and to some extent we are not. I would imagine the latter being perhaps more prominent.
I want us to look almost theoretically what is an activist, okay? Yeah. And I think in today's world we need activists everywhere. It's a transformation society. But maybe there's also a culture in our country that activism must lead to masses and it must lead to mass protest. So that's why the DA comes and creates a blue march. And then we say, now we saw a march recently in Natal organized in support of President Zuma, just to somehow show he's got support, you know? So activism maybe shouldn't always be equated to big marches and millions of people marching. But that seems to be another subsection of our culture, isn't it? Is that that's how we show that activism has resulted in success. How many students can we get to march to the union buildings? Oh, there's a lot. Okay, the activism there must have been successful then. How many cars can we burn and how much smoke? Okay, a lot. So therefore, activism is succeeding. So we must be careful, I guess, eh? But showing numbers in the process of activism does help.
Well, I think you raise a very important point. Activism per se doesn't mean we have to flow in our thousands onto the street. You can be an activist in your own home. You can be an activist in your community. If you're signing a petition following a certain cause, you can be an activist. Mm. And I think now with the very topical issue of fees must fall, we're seeing again activism of a different nature. Like the cause or not, I think we're all unanimous, we're supporting the principle of free education. But when students go out and burn in Braamfontein, when they go out like they did this morning and causing havoc in Parktown, making it difficult for people to go to Donald Gordon Hospital, etc., we have a problem. Last week, I was invited by the Frederick van Zylslabbert School of Leadership to give a talk to students at the University of Stellenbosch. Lovely engagement. But the minute I mentioned the fees must fall and that we cannot condone violence, I became the target and it became very personal. And people were saying to me, how do you condone the police shooting us and how do you stop us from going to burn? When I made the point, which was my view I expressed, to say it's wrong for women to take up their tops publicly, there are other ways of protesting, again, I was attacked. So I think very often it's a very individual thing, Adrian, and on how do we interpret the philosophy of being active citizens. And again, I mean, we see it over and over again. The one thing we South Africans are good at, when it comes to, for example, charity, when you say donate to a certain charitable cause, people come out and open their hearts and their pockets. And I think it just depends on who you're talking to and which audience and constituency you're talking to.
Okay, what is an activist? Let's just look at the basics here. What would you? How would you define an activist?
A guy like Mark Hayward, Section 24, somebody who really brings people together, somebody who mobilizes, somebody who's a great inspiration. And I think at this juncture in South Africa, let's confront the brutal facts very openly. We in a very negative psyche at the moment. Wherever you go, whether you're going for breakfast, lunch or supper, whether we're having coffee, what's topical? The country is in, I don't know, use the word, the country is in trouble.
Yeah.
Right? Zuma is a problem. Malema is a problem. My money is a problem. Everyone is a problem. The economy is a problem. The NPA is a problem. Look what happened with Thuli Madonsela hours before term of office came to an end. So I think it depends what we are looking at. And I think this negative psyche is really having an impact on our productivity. It's having an impact on families at home. So as much as I often say to you, South Africa's got a lot of problems. The government calls them challenges, crime, corruption. We can carry on and sit here for the whole day to list them. We really need to find a way, in my view, where we also look at the good of South Africa, where we focus on the brighter side of South Africa, whether it is tourism, whether it's the lovely jacaranda trees in my home city of Pretoria, whether it's Table Mountain, and so the list can continue. I think as much as we have this negative psyche, it's time for us to really pull together and see what the good of South Africa is also all about.
Not easy, is it? Because there are so many flipping challenges all over the place, and they're so glaring, and they just seem to grow bigger and bigger.
Yeah, just for the record, the politicians call them challenges. We can call them problems, sir. Yeah.
Obstacles, challenges, problems. I mean, I would say an activist is someone who seeks to create positive change and hopefully in a peaceful manner. And I think we all want to see positive change. Now, the big problem is I might feel inside I'm an activist inside my business. But man, if I speak up about this toxic leader, then I'll be victimized and I'll lose my job. And in today's world where there's a zero economy growth, I can't afford to lose my job. So now I have to make some difficult calls. Am I going to stand up for this ethical issue, Paul, or am I going to just be quiet about it because I really cannot afford to leave here? I'll get nothing out there. But we do need activists everywhere. We need them about everything, and we need them in corporate. We need them in society. We need them in our families. We actually need them, but we've got to understand that there must be some guidelines. There must be some rules around being an activist, because I guess you can get a good activist and a bad activist. A good activist would be as peaceful as possible. But then again, you know, really, if your president is bringing your country down, Joseph, then maybe some really aggressive activism is necessary. Maybe we must march to union buildings and go into the flipping passageway and pull him out of his office and be nice to him, but tell him we really don't want you to be the president. I don't know. You know, activism sometimes must go into tough mode.
I don't want to be charged for treason, but I think you raise a very valid point. What we need to do is within the framework of our constitution and our democracy.
Yeah.
And driving here, I just heard that the ANC has condemned the president of the ANC Youth League during a rally at the weekend where he said that the MK veterans must take up arms and protect the president of this country. There's a possibility that he's going to be criminal charges are now going to be opened against him. And I think that is a critical part of leadership.
Yeah.
Is we must stop the popularity contest, and we must focus on saying and doing things which will not stir up hatred and emotion, but people who are responsible. You mentioned Tuli Madonsela, our former public protector. She's been on your show several times, and I sent her a message the weekend, and I said to her, Advocate, we can't let you fade away into the wilderness. We want you to come involved. We want you to get involved and continue this philosophy of being an active citizenry. And I'm sure in all the discussions I've had, she's going to re-emerge after taking a short break. I hope that break is not going to be 1 year. But be it as it may, the point that you are making is that, yes, we have leaders who go with the popularity contest, and we have leaders who simply go with the flow. And I often use the example of the ANC in Gauteng, seen by many as the official opposition to the ANC. And I think the one message we need to send to our politicians is that have the courage to stand up for what's right. And really, we're seeing it now with this whole debate around Pravin Gordhan, the NPA, etc. Some people and factions are clearly blindly following a certain path. Other ones are going in the opposite direction. And there we have people like Minister Derek Hanekom, former President Motlanthe, veteran Ahmed Kathrada, and others saying, no, we will fight this cause. And they really saying that we are going to come openly to the court on the 2nd of November to support Pravin Gordhan. Even Cyril Ramaphosa has publicly come out and supporting.
Correct.
So I think what we are dealing with politically in South Africa is simply two factions, and everyone, I suppose the bravest or the strongest will survive. When you talk of the corporate world, let's be very honest. The CEOs of many companies are dead scared. They're dead scared because they know if they make a comment, the government will cut their spending. They're dead scared because very often, you know, what will my minister friend say, or the premier friend, or whatever. And my challenge to the corporate world today is get out of that lap of luxury, open your mouth and take a stand, even if it hurts your pockets. And I think very often we have useless CEOs who are just simply behind the luxury of their offices, earning millions of rands in bonuses and whatever, and they're too scared to take a stand. And my challenge to them is, you know what, you want to show leadership, open your mouth and do something instead of like just going with the flow.
Interesting, we've had Pityana, the chairman of AngloGold Ashanti, I think. We've had Neil Frineman, Sibanye CEO, who's a sponsor of the show, who's spoken out. And he's felt a bit of persecution, as Gareth Cliff felt earlier this year. So I do think there's suddenly a slight bolder move forward, which I think our society needs. We really need. You're right. We need activists. What activated the activist inside you? You were a crime reporter, okay, and you were all over the place, and that's kind of. I know you did a lot of things before that, but that's probably where you came to more prominence, and maybe you weren't. Maybe you were a closet activist then, or maybe you were already an activist. What triggered your activism?
I just got worried when a moment you said being a crime reporter or editor and you became an activist, that you didn't suggest I became a criminal, Arjan. But thank you for that. I think that is where very often I think I differed with my colleagues in the media, some of them who perhaps correctly or wrongly criticized me publicly. I'm of the view that even if you're a member of the media, whether you're an editor, whether you're a journalist, you cannot break away from the fact that you are living in society and you have to sometimes roll up your sleeves. And that is why even when I was at my former employer, I was one of the founding members of Crimeline, lead essay initiative that saw people taking the challenge to do positive change, to focus on the good. And I think very often these editors are quick to criticize through the columns of their newspapers or on air. But when you say to them, get involved, they are scared. And it reminds me of the well-reported incident by now when the opening of Parliament, when was it, last year? The signal jammer came in.
Yeah.
I remember clearly sitting with some of my editor colleagues at the time in the public gallery, the media gallery in Parliament, and there was no signal. We couldn't tweet and whatever. And I said to the few editors, well, let's do something. And when I said, let's get up and shout, bring back the signal, they said, no, you'll be locked up. I said, so what?
Yeah.
Eventually, I mean, I'm happy that one or two colleagues joined it, and we got up and we started screaming. We became the attention and the focus. And the rest is history. I mean, everyone joined in. And the Constitutional Court now recently ruled that, yes, that signal should not have been jammed. So I think very often the media specifically are scared. And the media has to take up this role. I think my dear friend John Robbie on 702 very often uses the example to say, you know what, we can point fingers, we can come up with problems, but let's find solutions. And I think that is a critical part. As much as we criticize, we condemn, which is our right, let's find a solution to our problem. And the media has a role to play,
yeah,
like the corporate world does.
Yeah. So in a positive way, being an activist society, which Khalima Mutlant had said, there's a lot of good in that. So you see bad things happening, and then you see the activists rising. And that's very positive. But you mentioned earlier social media. We complain a lot on social media, but also social media has changed the whole world of activism, hasn't it? The power of social media. We know through social media, if we really have had enough, if we said in a week's time we're all marching there and there, it can actually happen. So internet first and then social media second. How has that changed the face of activism?
There's no doubt that the face of social media has changed. Whether you're on Twitter, whether you're on Facebook, whether you're on Instagram, whether you're on a website. I think the power of social media is now more important than ever before. We know very often, with Twitter, sometimes you feel like committing suicide because of all the negativity and the personal attacks, and it becomes very, very ugly at times. And the trolls sometimes just continue. But from experience I've learned, you just ignore them, the dogs bark, and the caravan continues. So what I think we need to do, Ariane, is to use social media for good. And I'll give you a personal example. You know, I decided this year I'm going on the pilgrimage to Mecca. And as a Muslim, it's compulsory once in your lifetime if you can afford it to go. And I thought, I'm going with a family. We're going quietly and peacefully. And 2 weeks before I left, the Saudi TV station that came here said they want to do a profile on me, and I did it. And when I arrived in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia, I put up a tweet, and I got a message from my friend at SAFM, Ashraf Garda, to say, I love your tweet. Why don't you start a hashtag called Abramchi on Hajj? And I must say, I don't know how I fell into the trap, and the rest is history. Mm-hmm. Thousands of tweets went out on Abramchi on Hajj. And that is how the message went out. And even non-Muslims were saying, we find it fascinating. Explain to us what is the Kaaba and why you walk seven times around it and why do you throw it, the stones or pelt the devil symbolically, etc. And when I got back, I had 1,500 photos on my iPhone. And, you know, the new one didn't come out, so the storage space was limited. And I told a friend of mine, please store these photos away. He looked at them and said, but we can't let these photos go wasted. Exactly a month ago. The end result is they chose 400 photographs. The book went into print, high gloss, A3 landscape. And we're launching the book on Sunday with 400 photographs. Only three photos, by the way, had to be changed because the pixels were a bit low. And we're launching the book on Sunday, and the proceeds are going to charity. It again shows you the power of technology. Mm. How quickly, if you move at speed, you'll be able. And again, you know, it's not about just social media. It's about using social media for good and trying to make a difference. And hopefully some charities, in fact, two charities will benefit from the sale of this book, perhaps a few R100,000 collected for charity.
But you see, it's your activist nature. So you're activists create movement, Louis. If you're an activist, you're not happy with stagnancy. You want movement, right?
For sure. Because we speak of the law of movement says that have integrate motivation, direction, and structure. So you can speak all the plans of the world, but if you don't have the driving passion, it won't move. And you certainly show that, Yusuf. I just appreciate Arden tremendously, his impression, his strong feeling about the positive side. If we focus so much on the toxic side, we become part of the problem. It's very important that you always revalue your motives and your inner person. And often people, if they don't have that kind of spiritual background, it may be difficult. They may be swept along. And this is dangerous. It makes you a lesser person. One should be very careful of that.
Well, Louis, I want to talk Afrikaans, but I'll stick to English. But really, I think that's a very good point that's made. I think what we need to do is to really take stock of where we are as South Africans. And as much as Constitution provide for free speech and freedom of expression, what we need to do is to use it responsibly. But as much as we criticize, we find the negative in South Africa, let us look at the good as well. And I think keeping the balance is important. If we don't look at the brighter side of our country, I think we'll be going from bad to worse. I heard you talking earlier to the expert as well about toxic leadership. There we have it. United States of America, Donald Trump. a real toxic leader to me, not only because he hates Muslims, but because the leadership he's giving will take America down the wrong road. And if he becomes president of America, God forbid, we wish that country well. I think it will be the start of the downslope for America in the history of that particular country. And again, you know, I firmly believe leaders must lead by example. You talk of leadership. Where is the moral leadership in South Africa? Where's the accountability? The public protector makes a ruling, they ignore it until they go to the court and lose the case, to the appeal court or to the constitutional court. We've seen it over and over again. This lack of accountability is keeping South Africa back. If this was any other civilized country where somebody had to be held accountable, they would have resigned long before the finding was even made. Mm-hmm. There is no moral responsibility in South Africa. And very sadly, and I'll say it again, Jacob Zuma would have been a good president if he followed in Madiba's footsteps. Madiba had accountability. He led by example. He had the humility. And more importantly, he had the credibility and the honesty, which up to today is still keeping South Africa alive. And we, I think I don't have to explain to you or convince you about the current leadership that we have. Yeah. And I think these are some of the issues we really need to tackle. We need to talk about it, Adrian. We need to debate it. And whether people like it and call me a politician, you know what, I don't care. I think we need to talk about this openly and frankly.
Well, just list the top five issues in our society right now that you think we should seriously activate as activists.
Point number one, education.
Okay.
Point number two, education. Point number three, education. Point number four, education.
Let me guess what five is.
And point number five, education.
That's what the students would say. They'll say that's what they're doing.
I often say this. If we have an uneducated nation, South Africa won't go forward. Yes, we have a problem with lack of leadership. We have a problem with crime. We have a problem with corruption. We have poverty. We have unemployment. I can bore you till tonight with all the problems that we have. If we don't take the opportunity to go and educate our students, our young people, South Africa won't go forward. And that is why I have a real serious problem with our young people that are going out there and becoming criminals. They are burning their campuses. They are burning our future. I went to Vuani at the invitation of the Minister of Arts and Culture months ago. And the one thing that broke my heart on that day when I drove into Vuani was a school desk in the main road still smoldering. It was burning. And I thought, excuse me, is this a rainbow nation that we're aspiring for 23 years later? When you go and you see at Wits when they damaged the Great Hall, or you see what happened overnight at the Nelson Mandela University, or you see what is happening at TUT and Takis, it breaks your heart. These students cannot use the hashtag fees must fall to throw their own future away. And we are about to lose the academic year at this rate, even today with the violence that we are seeing. How can we condone violence to take a course forward? We really need to take stock of our nature, of ourselves in South Africa. If not, I'm sorry, South Africa is going to go down this very slippery path.
See, I'm Louis, you can come in. I think education, five times. Education is the big area in which we must activate or be activists. But man, if we had better leadership, authentic leadership, then even education would be on a different footing and many of these other issues.
Can you, Arjun, just tie in? You've been saying two things. You've been saying education, but actually you've been saying something else which is very important, is a certain type of education. That is the education of moral principles, of moral standards, etc. Because the other education doesn't mean much without that. We see more and more how people are not employable after their degrees. Now, therefore, we need to have people and leaders around that teach the other the moral imperative, because that gives education a completely different spirit. Education by itself is only a part education. The full education is when you have that character behind you.
I think you raise a point, and let me clarify the issue of education. When I talk education, as much as sometimes people think I'm saying it as in jest, the results of having an educated nation, the spin-offs are enormous. Whether we're going to have good leadership coming out of that education, whether we're going to have a moral leadership coming out, whether we're going to have somebody who models the way, whether we're going to have somebody who inspires a shared vision, and we all know the five leadership principles, celebrating your success and so on. I think what we need to do is really take stock as South Africans of where we are. And really, I think at the rate South Africa is going on at the moment, if we don't sort out this leadership problem immediately, and I'm talking of the public leadership, we're in serious trouble. If we don't activate our country and do what is right. And that is why this phrase always, Adrian, do the right thing, has become such a popular phrase. But sadly, a lot of the public officials are not doing what is right. We saw it during the local government election. If the results in Gauteng especially was not a wake-up call for the ANC, nothing will. And I think very importantly, the one lesson I hope they learn out of that is stop the arrogance. The arrogance will keep you behind. If you're arrogant, you lose support. And even if you take it in a situation of a household or your colleagues at work, if you're arrogant and you just go on this fighting and conflict and trying to shoot people down, it will eventually come back to haunt you.
So on that note, I think I want us to draw to a close, and we often kind of end with what we call a Sibanye executive leadership thought. And I'm going to grab what you just said there. Stop the arrogance. It will keep you back. It'll hold you back. It'll bring you down. You see it in politics. You see it in business. But what's the one thought we can take away? Maybe a final message to leaders in general. Joseph, what would you say to them?
Stand up and do what is right. Whether you are a politician, whether you're in the ruling party, whether you're in the opposition, whether you're part of a faction, stand up and do what is right. In the corporate world, CEOs and other leaders within that fraternity, stand up and stand up for your country. Because if you don't, no one else will.
Mm. Louis, final comments?
I agree with
something
that.
We can take away?
Just tied in when Yusuf says, evaluate where you are. So where do you stand personally, you know? And that everyone should do that all the time. We should evaluate where we are and what we are as personally. It all boils down to the personal mindset.
All right. Thank you so much, Joseph, for joining us. We're going to have a conversation with some of the managers sitting here. We've been listening to the last hour. And next up is our business masterclass. With USB Ed, we're going to talk to Sean Cunningham about knowledge management concepts that are critical. So stay with us. Next up, the business masterclass. CliffCentral.com.